Well, you are listening to KKUP Cupertino. Welcome to A Meeting of the Ways. We've got a great guest today.
Oops, you lost me. Oh, dear. Dropped off.
Welcome to A Meeting of the Ways. Greg Burnell, Mendoza Spetzed.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Great. Why don't I introduce you?
Terrific.
Okay. It's a long one. If a movie blockbuster ever tells the story of Silicon Valley's history and its technology, the protagonist should be Greg Burnell Mendoza-Smested, PhD. He's a scientist that's working at the forefront of solar technology, and he's got patents to prove it. He's a Willow Glen resident. He's an eighth-generation Californio. He's a descendant of the California families who founded El Pueblo de San Jose de Guadalupe in 1777. He teaches solar science at the University of Santa Clara. The U.S. Department of Energy and the California Energy Commission have relied on his expertise. The National Park Service gave him a special award for the Juan Bautista de Anza National Historic Trail Guide that he wrote. So welcome again, and let me say kind of a more of an introduction, then we'll get really specific. So I'm going to paraphrase the New York Times. The coronavirus shutdown has limited automobile traffic. It's idled factories. It's sent the demand for oil plummeting, along with the prices. It's led to the cleanest skies in a generation and a dramatic decline in planet-warming greenhouse gas emissions. Meanwhile, the Trump administration, and wait, you know, let me just tell you the disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily that of the staff, management, and other listeners. Meanwhile, the Trump administration, in twin actions to curb environmental regulations, moved this past Thursday to temporarily speed the construction of not green energy projects and to permanently weaken federal authority to issue stringent clean air and climate change rules. Other Republicans, and the Times has reported extensively, unless you can look at this yourself, I'm just kind of summarizing, they say that certain elements are trying to sneak in a Green New Deal that isn't affordable and will increase joblessness. I've invited Dr. Burnell Mendoza-Smested to speak to us about the new momentum for addressing climate change and the forces that oppose this. And I thought maybe a way to begin at the beginning, especially in light of the murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, when we planned for this interview, you spoke about how climate change is linked to racial equality. This disregard for people of color gets big-time pollution in their communities.
Yeah, this is a complicated equation, one could say. One could also say that you have to juggle a number of things at the same time to see how these things are interrelated. I'm going to try. The first disclaimer is that my field is in material science. It's in solar energy. I'm part of a much larger ecosystem of professionals who have been moving for many decades to green technologies, energy-efficient technologies, renewable energy technologies. So we all speak similar language, and there are those of us who are very skilled at looking at the policy aspects. I've published a little bit in that, but what I'm going to try to do today with you, Diane, in this is Meeting of the Ways, is to try to share with you some of these aspects. So the first easiest way to grasp this is that it has been found by a study in Harvard that those people who have irritated lungs because of pollution, and those are typically people of color in places that are more polluted, they can have a higher incidence of coronavirus. And there have been several studies around the world, but this one Harvard study tosses up then the first ball for us to see. The second one is that in these areas that are economically repressed and suppressed, those are the ones that will be at the forefront when climate change, as it is already happening in various places in the United States and all over the world. So you could start to see that there are linkages between the environment, health, climate change, and race. But it's very complicated. So maybe I pause there and let people kind of say, oh, okay, maybe I could see that.
Yeah, so to summarize, you're saying, you know, yeah, poor people, disregarded people, underrepresented people live in communities where developers can feel free to get permits to put in like plastics factories or the oil refineries or that sort of thing. Maybe you can talk about how that pans out here. We have some oil factories right here, right?
We do. So think of the refineries in Richmond or in the Martinez-Pacheco area of Contra Costa County. You hear often about flaring events where they have to flare gas or where there's an emission of natural gas or some other toxic material in the processing and preparation of fossil fuels. So those are economically suppressed. These are black and brown communities often, and it's just one of many examples in California, in the West, in the United States, all over the world, where race and environment and health all interconnect. And if you're listening to this and you're in one of those areas, you know somebody who is, you're nodding your head saying, of course, my child has asthma, or of course, I can't breathe.
You know, when this when we all started sheltering and everyone was started talking about, you know, how the freeways are not crowded and, you know, you look at the skies today, I'm in the San Jose area, blue, beautiful blue skies. People thought, hey, you know, so then I started reading that there is momentum about climate change and you kindly reached out to me. So maybe could you talk about the new momentum for addressing climate change? You referred me to a New York Times article on building back better with green, clean energy-oriented COVID-19 recovery packages. Tell us about this new momentum. Is it really going anywhere, or is it just talking?
No, it's definitely going someplace. And I'll link this to the European Union and the major economies of the world. The article that I sent you was May 5th, physics.org. This is an article, again, batting around this idea that you can, at the same time, as addressing the economic situation that we find ourselves in with COVID, with people out of work, we have to put money back in. We have to reinvest. We have to reinvigorate. And the question has been, should we invest in the industries that we had, or should we invest in new industries? And the Building Back Better philosophy comes out of emergency response, when you have an earthquake or a storm. But now it's being used for, in a larger context, to say, well, how could we restructure economies to make them more resilient to both natural and man-made disasters? And this is also reflected in something that the World Economic Forum just did this last week. It's called the Great Reset. And you can go on the World Economic Forum website and listen to some of the notices that they're doing there. They're actually looking at different economies, such as those in Europe. There was recently a budget passed where, let's see if I get the right numbers here, 25% of a 750 billion euro package is earmarked for climate action. And the basic idea is to do no harm. Clause rules out environmentally detrimental intervention, and you could see that in the EU budget, both the one that's upcoming and even in the long-range budget for 2021 to 2027. And that's been adopted also by member countries as well. Angela Merkel just released something, too, where she says, well, we're going to put money back into the economy, but at the same time, we're going to take into consideration mitigation and resilience, so that they're moving forward, being able to compete with countries like China, who've already made massive investments in renewable energy technologies. So we have to ask ourselves, if we want to bring jobs back, we might bring back the old jobs, only to realize that in the world we're no longer competitive with China, EU, and other countries that are moving forward with this Great Reset and this Build Back Better philosophy.
So what's going on here in the United States? Who are the green energy activists? And I'm going to call you one. And maybe tell us who are they and what are they doing and what organizations are key and taking the lead on this?
Well,
or companies, I guess.
Well, no, it is a series also of think tanks, of companies, of organizations. They range from the technical to the political, national, state, international. It's quite a network that's been built up, basically because money is there, and so this also the amount of investment that people see, both locally in certain states, certain counties, certain cities, is an opportunity, is an economic opportunity. For example, when I reached out to you, we were about to listen to Mayor Eric Garcetti. He launched the Los Angeles Green New Deal in April of 2019. You can find that on lamayor.org. Less than a year later, and during the onset of the COVID pandemic, he held fast by announcing what he called a decade of action to address the climate crisis with the signing of LA's Green New Deal, Lead by Example. And so that was an executive directive. It was part of his city's 2020 vision for LA's future. We have similar initiatives here, Sam Liccardo and his predecessors for San Jose, and there are mayors across the state and across the United States. So the simple answer to your question is that who is leading this now besides the investment community, the technical community? This is local, at the local level. They are not looking at our U.S. federal level. They're looking overseas at the opportunities that are there, the technologies and the trends that they see there, and then they're bringing it as local as it gets into the city and county levels. For example, coming back into L.A., did what's called a power purchase agreement. That's a way that it can affect policy. It's basically saying, hey, you guys build a power plant, and we will agree, the city of L.A. will agree to purchase power. Here in San Jose, we have community power projects where people can sign in and sign up for using solar energy and other renewables through the city of San Jose, and that's Sam Liccardo has done that.
Right, we have Climate Smart.
If we have Climate Smart, right. And so, there are a host of other things that are being done, but the Green Deal is not yet on our national level, but it's being proposed by Senator Alexandria Cortese and others. And so, of course, just in the House, it's being blocked right now by the Senate. But this is there are candidates out there who have embraced the Green New Deal on the policy side, looking at its implications for how would we retrain people in a new economy? How would we take the people who can't necessarily work in a COVID economy? How could we offer them training in order to go forward instead of backwards? And that's at the crux of a lot of the things that I've been reading about and taking part in.
I just want to let folks know, if you've tuned in, thank you for tuning in this afternoon. And our guest is Greg Burnell Mendoza Smisted, PhD. He's a scientist working at the forefront of solar technology. And he teaches solar science, teaches solar science at the University of Santa Clara. He's got a consulting with advising all sorts of organizations about how to improve solar science and solar technology. The U.S. Department of Energy and the California Energy Commission have relied on his expertise. It seems like people are trying to, it seems like united we stand, divided we fall. And when people collaborate, that's really strong. We're going to take a music break right now. We'll be right back.
Come on.
Okay, we're back with Dr. Greg Bernal Mendoza Smithstead, and gosh, talking about the clean energy movement that the COVID-19 crisis has kind of inspired. And there's a kind of a consortium of individuals who are looking to how to champion this at the federal level. And I will say that per our prior talks, maybe you can tell us about that coalition. It is connected with the Biden campaign, and we don't support specific candidates here, but I can say that on this program, again, views and opinions in this program are not necessarily that of the staff, management, and other listeners. We support the Earth, and it sounds like this is a group of people who are saying, hey, the way to go is to create a policy for Biden and go from there. Could you tell us about this Clean Energy for Biden coalition in the context of what they're trying to champion through, the types of things they're trying to champion through at the federal level?
Diane?
Yeah. I was wondering if you could tell us the types of things that the Clean Energy for Biden group that you're a member of, this new group, are trying to champion through at the federal level. It seems like they're mobilizing. They have good ideas. They're going to try and get something concrete. And the way to champion it up at the federal level would be to connect with the Biden campaign?
Right. So about 1,000 or more leaders have, in this ecosystem that I told you about, scientists, policymakers, financiers, business people, they've joined together to try to put all of this together. Not any one mind can fathom these linkages. So we have been working collaboratively. There is a system in place. For example, here's one of our members who's helping me very much, Glenna Wiseman. She is a board member of the Women in Clean Tech and Sustainability. So we mentioned racism. Well, there's also sexism. And so this comes from a common fault in our society. And so there are linkages between clean energy and access to clean energy and opportunities for women and opportunities for people of color as well. So she's going to be giving a lecture or an interactive conversation together with another one of our leaders, Daniel Kamen. And he is the distinguished professor in energy and energy resources group at the University of California, Berkeley, and former science envoy for the State Department, assisting John Kerry with a number of the climate initiatives that the Obama administration did. And so on the 25th of June, we'll have what's called a virtual happy hour. I want to make it free to anyone who wants to attend. We will have some other people basically telling who they are, how they see this large picture that I'm trying to build, and then hear from people asking their questions about how this thing would work. How does it work in Europe? Why did Europe just do this? Why did Europe put all of this money in? How could we do this here? How does this affect me personally? And so this group is calling itself Clean Energy for Biden because of the politicians that are out there that could make at the federal level the most impact with this now. Joe Biden has embraced all of these things and also has put together a team in order to try to flesh out a legislative agenda which would correctly bring all of this together. In fact, on Thursday, he said he plans, this is from the Washington Examiner, he plans a clean energy stimulus to address environmental injustices for people of color. So again, he seems to get this, that if we solve employment, climate, and environmental justice, we could do it all at the same time and bring it all up together.
So how can people find out about the June 25th event? I went to cleanenergyforbiden.com, and I didn't see anything about this.
Yeah, this is Clean Energy for Biden, with the F-O-R, not the, the four. We don't have it put up on the website yet. You can email me, inquiries@soulideas.com.
And that's and S-O-L, S-O-L ideas.
S-O-L-I-D-E-A-S.com. You can just look me up on the Internet. I have a small consulting company, Soul Ideas Technology Development. We will get it up on various platforms. That's what I'm working on now. But I can say that we are a go with this virtual happy hour. We want it to be an interactive where we bring together experts and the public to talk to one another, like you and I, you know, meeting of the ways. We've been doing this for years now, Diane. Thank you very much, by the way.
You know, when we were preparing for this interview, I asked you, what are some things that you really think is important? And what I thought was remarkable was you saying, you know, we just need to get people information so that they can tell their friends, because, you know, people don't know about the, you know, maybe they don't know about the connection between, you know, where the polluters are and where they put things and how that adversely impacts our people of color. And then you kind of talked about the foundation of our democracy, and maybe you could talk about that.
Yeah. Everyone in this group that I've joined believes that we need to bring these concepts to the public. We've spent too long listening to this talking head or this leader. That's why I have the disclaimer in the beginning. I'm not an expert in these things, but I read. And I have these compartments to be able to say, okay, climate justice, racism, sexism, the environment, clean air, climate change, clean energy, economic development. All right, how does this impact us? Who's for it? Who's against it? And the idea of our foundation of the United States of America, at least I was taught here, right, in San Jose, California, is that our founders were believers in the Enlightenment, which means we are not going to take the word of the king or with experts. We are going to be educated, and we are going to form our own opinions, and we are going to debate. We stopped doing that. It's this side versus that side, liberal, conservative. It doesn't matter. These are ideas that are testable. For instance, you could see Iceland has made a transition to clean energy. Why has it done it? How has it done it? How has it affected their economy? There are other places in the world that are doing it the same. There's Bangladesh, for example. Nancy Wimmer wrote a book, Clean Energy for a Billion Poor, where they put small solar panels on businesses and in villages, and it makes an enormous impact in terms of energy for billions of people, for developing. Those things can be done at the developed world and the developing world. And so this group, again, believes the most important thing that it believes is that we need a leader, we need a set of leaders at every level, city, state, federal level, international collaborations, in which we could advance, hone, test all of these ideas. And this is really the foundation of democracy. So my main message that I said during our conversation, Diane, and I thank you for it, is that don't just take my word for it. Take some of these concepts. Learn for yourself. Don't take this one or that one. Keep building your own knowledge about what is being done at all of these various levels and what's the basis for these statements. That is the thing that if we need to take anything back, it's that idea that our democracy belongs to us as individuals, no matter if you come from East Side Palo Alto, Los Altos, or Fremont.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Greg Burnell Mendoza Smithstead. He's got a website, Soul Ideas, SOLideas.com, right? It's a com.com?
Exactly.
And if you're interested in the Green New Deal or these sorts of things, you can find him at info@soulideas.com. And I guess
Inquiries. You ask a question.
And
Inquiries at Soul Ideas. And I'll plug you into what we're doing on the 25th of
Oh, great. So I can tell folks about it here, too. Great. Yeah, and then I guess eventually on Clean Energy for Biden, FORBiden.com, there'll be information about. Sounds like these are great spokespersons for a movement for a clean energy.
In this country, they are the leaders. I'm very proud to be with them.
Wonderful. Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners before we sign off?
Well, I believe that this is something that we're doing here in California. As our governor says, this is we are like a nation state. And so we in California should feel very proud, both in Silicon Valley. I mentioned Los Angeles as well. We are leading the world and will continue to be the guiding light for these kinds of transformations to prove that they work.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Can't wait to have you back.
Thank you again, Diane. Take care.